If you follow Wisconsin state government at all, you already know that, biennially speaking, this was a big week.
On Wednesday, Governor Scott Walker delivered his budget address, telling residents and lawmakers how he thinks the state should spend its money over the next 2 years.
It was the fourth budget address that the governor has given, and if you compare this budget to his first, it felt a little like a different Scott Walker, almost like he's a brand new man.
Is that a reference to the debut single from country music hitmakers Brooks and Dunn?
Oh, I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man.
Man, gotta love those smoky harmonies.
So is Governor Scott Walker a brand new man? Was this budget due to a change in heart? Or change in circumstances?
This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White. Let's talk about the new Scott Walker.
So tell me, guys, who is the new Scott Walker? What makes this Scott Walker from this week's budget address different from the Scott Walker of bienniums past?
Well, let's start from the top. This budget was based around, and this budget address was based around, Scott Walker bragging about spending more on schools. And it's not like he set out in the earlier budgets to say, I don't want to help schools, but it's never come in the form of increased dollars for schools. And this time it did. And as he campaigns around this, campaigns for this budget around the state, that's the center of his message here, is this increased funding for schools, and that's something you haven't seen from Walker before.
Because what you saw from Walker before, I mean, it's been consistent that, you know, the State Department of Public Instruction and the UW system have asked for increases in funding, and the governor... So basically what's happening here is that the governor is adding additional funding to things that have been asking for more money for years, but he's never met those requests. They've asked for, you know, additional spending.
I mean, would it be fair to cast some of his earlier budget proposals as austerity budgeting, essentially?
I think if you look at the mood of the country and the wave that he rode in 2011 and... combine that with the state's finances. He was out there very overtly as the austerity governor. I mean, he was talking about the state needing to live within its means. And that first budget was very much that. I mean, it was partly driven by the state having had, stimulus payments from the federal government in the previous budgets and then not having them. But he cut roughly $800 million from public schools in that first budget. He's cut the University of Wisconsin in each of his first three budgets. Compare that to this budget, a $650 million increase for public schools, more than DPI asked for, the Department of Public Instruction. A roughly $140 million increase in state funds for the UW. And, you know, again, that's their first increase under Governor Walker. So I think his argument that this is that these are different times and that we have more money now. But the counter argument to that is that, like, these are different times. Governor Walker is running for re-election now.
Well, and he's saying that they're different times because of the changes that he's put in place in the previous budget. So he's arguing that things like Act 10 saved, I think the number he attached to Act 10 was something like $5 billion in the budget address that he said was
that would be his infamous reform dividend,
right?
A term that he was using a whole bunch in his speech, but which is no like actual pot of money that you can point to saying this and this account is the reform dividend.
Right.
It's more like, well, we made all of these bold conservative cuts and we've saved a bunch of money. This is how much, you know.
You were editing stories on kind of day one that he rolled that term out, and you asked, so what, like, is that a specific pot of money in the budget? And it's not.
It's just more of an idea.
It is absolutely an idea that he's thrown out there quite a bit and continues to throw out there, by the way. is that this is all driven by a reform dividend. I think it's, you know, I think you could get really into the nitty gritty on where the money is coming from, and it's estimates in, you know, economic growth that ticked up just a little bit, and that's where some of the money comes from. It's overestimating the number of people who are going to be on Medicaid, so that's where some of the money comes from. And it's spending down the state's surplus, which it has right now, and leaving it with hardly any money in the bank at the end of 2 years. That's where some of the money comes from. So it's a combination of factors that are, I don't know that you could call that a reform dividend, but that's definitely what he's attributing it to.
So, like, we can't really say whether or not this willingness to spend more money in this budget is attributed to, you know, entirely just we have more money, circumstances have changed, or there's political calculations in it. We can't say that. But how would this new budget possibly help Walker politically if he's running in 2018?
Well, I mean, it was sort of funny because so reporters get this budget briefing before the governor, you know, gives his address. And so we can sort of ask some questions and we can't report on what we learn. We've got to wait, you know, a couple hours.
Embargo.
Right. It's on what we call an embargo. And so, you know, the kind of questions are rolling around. And one reporter was sort of like, so what accounts for this chicken in every pot budget? And basically that kind of, I mean, it's implying that like there's a little something for everybody. This is making everybody happy. And of course, that's good for a politician, right? You know, money for schools. He's talking about, you know, some of the other things, child welfare aid that goes to counties, increasing funds for people that are foster parents and, you know,
cutting university tuition for
in-state
students.
Yeah.
Very populist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some elements of, you know, kind of building off this new man theme. I mean, there's the elements of the 2011 Scott Walker in there for sure. He has tax cuts to the income tax, a sales tax holiday, a property tax cut, totaling altogether over the 2 year biennium, roughly $600 million. So that's definitely something that, you know, they feel would sell well, I think, in a reelection campaign. That's been part of his formula before.
And what about the folks who aren't looking for a unifying 2018 statewide election message to sell in the legislature? I mean, they have their own re-elections to think about too, but their calculus is different. How was this received by some of the folks in Walker's party and in the opposition party? What were they saying about his budget plan? Because they get to come in and now have a crack at, you know, writing their own budget and have the say on, you know, this is what we're going to put out there.
So Democrats basically were pointing and saying, this is a reelection budget. This is the governor beginning his campaigning on state time. This is unrealistic.
A sign that his previous policies have failed, that he's now changing his tone.
Exactly.
Yeah, according to Democrats at that press conference he covered the day of the budget.
Yes. They said, I think, I can't remember who it was, but they said, you know, basically he's presenting this budget and now we have to come in and be the bad guys. So it's sort of like a good cop, bad cop kind of thing. You know, the governor's, here are all the wonderful tuition cut for you and tax cut for you. Sorry, microphone. And tax cut for you. And, you know, and now the mean, nasty lawmakers have to come in and say, sorry, we can't actually do that. We don't know for sure that they're going to do that.
Saying it's like an episode of Oprah, basically, the governor's budget address. I want you to look under your seats right now.
Oh, my gosh.
We're cutting the earned income tax. Or we're putting more money in the earned income tax credit. Look under your seats.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just had a vision of like the red convertible rolling out onto the stage with the big bow on it. And then I'm so sorry, but this is like a very vivid image and I have to share. All of the Democrats that were at that press conference who are on the Joint Finance Committee sort of all coming out behind the car and trying to pull it backstage. Like by the trunk or something. Nobody saw that. That's sort of what they're saying. And they're also, one other point about the Democrats is that they're saying, you know, the governor cut all this money and now he's restoring even less than he cut. So Sean mentioned earlier, you know, he cut like 800 million mm-hmm. from schools, and now he's restoring six.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, that was a couple budgets ago. Mm-hmm. There's been more money going into schools since then, usually put in there by the legislature. But mm-hmm. yes, the cuts were deep. These, especially with the university, these only restore part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So how about the reaction from Republicans, though, which was pretty, especially from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, pretty harsh,
I mean,
I'd
they're going to have to kind of be bad cop here, too,
it
right?
It puts them in that situation. If they don't like the way that it leaves that ending balance and drives up the, you know, the gap deficit, which is so exciting to—
The gap deficit, you don't say.
I know. Everybody, stop what you're doing. The gap deficit goes up, and accountants don't like that. So, but— What we haven't talked about here so far today is what this budget does with transportation. And everybody thought going into this budget cycle, well, that is the preeminent issue for the budget, right? That mm-hmm. is going to be driving this budget. And I think the fact that it wasn't really at the centerpiece of this budget bothered people like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who think there needs to be more money for state road projects like the one in his district. And there needs to be a more long-term solution to the state's finances, such as a gas tax or vehicle registration fee. And so you actually saw Voss at one point during the speech shake his head and roll his eyes at the governor. When the governor talked about putting in an increase to local road aids, Voss had said earlier in a speech that day that Walker was trying to buy off local governments and that Republican legislators or the legislature as a whole wasn't going to just salute the governor. They're going to now take their crack at this budget. And, you know, the speaker said they were prepared to stick around until October to work on it. You know, this budget should be done in theory by July 1st.
Yeah, Robin Voss was definitely bringing some heat on the day of the budget address, starting early in the morning all the way through.
It was hot fire, man.
Whereas Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald was a little bit more measured in his response.
As is his norm.
As
yeah.
is his way.
So we're going to have to talk to the caucus about these positions. Although even Fitzgerald was saying, I'm not so sure about the income tax cut from the governor. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of bang for the buck there. So
and the tuition cut.
Right. And the tuition cut, not a ringing endorsement from legislators on either of those. Walker was kind of asked about this rift in Milwaukee this week, a day after the budget. And he said, you know, look, I think they're going to come my way eventually. And historically, yeah, but governors get most of what they want in budgets. And it's reasonable to think that Walker facing re-election next year is going to get most of what he wants here.
I mean, would there be sort of not a salute necessarily, but if, say, the Democrats end up fielding a competitive candidate, would Voss and Fitz make the calculation to say, well, we want to give the governor a lot of what he wants and give him a strong message to run on, lest we lose control of the governorship?
I don't think it would happen. We're not going to know what the 2018 election is going to be like until 2018. I don't think what kind of a cycle it's going to be. And I don't think Democrats have really centered on a candidate yet at this early stage. So I don't see that fear driving legislative leaders. I mean, if anything, the last several years have taught them they don't have a lot to fear.
Right.
You know,
I think they're feeling very like emboldened and positive at the moment. Not very, what would that be? Sort of like proactive and preventative or something.
Yeah, you never would have seen this level of public infighting mm-hmm. in earlier in the governor's administration because it was kind of a new world. Wisconsin had always been a state that pinged back and forth between one party controlling government, and that hasn't been the case. And so now with larger majorities, you're starting to see Republicans fighting amongst themselves. You know, they're not really even taking time in their early reaction to this budget to react to what Democrats are saying.
In the past, these budget addresses have been an opportunity for the governor to sort of set his policy agenda too. I mean, that and the State of the State addresses. But there has been some criticism in past years that there were some things brewing that he didn't talk about in you know, state of the state or in budget addresses. Are there any, do you guys have any guesses, wild speculations about whether there are some issues that the governor is thinking about that just weren't brought up at all here?
I don't really feel like there's been anything on the table that we've had kind of on our radar that didn't come up. I mean, I know that we've talked about...
Well, we didn't see a voucher expansion in this budget.
That's true.
But
we did prevailing wage, though.
Prevailing,
he mentioned.
You know, he would eliminate the prevailing wage for state projects. Mm-hmm. So there's that quote policy that's tucked into this budget. Mm-hmm. He would eliminate project labor agreements for local governments. That's another bill that's running through the legislature right now. But
I guess I'm thinking things like, you know, right to work in the past.
Yeah.
Well, that would be like, you know, prevailing wage and project labor agreements are very much in that realm.
He can kind of set the table for the legislature. And I mean, they want to put some kind of an expansion of voucher schools in the budget. They can do it. You think? It goes to his desk and would have the choice of vetoing that. But he's pretty much been on the same page with that in the past. It's kind of a... You know, it's a dance, maybe a two-step.
A boot scootin' boogie, perhaps?
Aww. Since we're talking some Brooks and Dunn here.
Are y'all with us on that? Did everybody get that reference?
Oof, 90s country. Ouch. Or as you guys say, yay.
Right.
Sean's not a fan.
I'm just not on board. I did like boot scootin' boogie. I mean, every budget is a little bit of a dance, though. And just because, like, Walker...
I'm just picturing Robin Voss in a cowboy hat and, like, a suede vest.
He could rock that. Yeah, I could see that. Work. Yeah.
But just because he didn't take the first step on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could, when it comes to the voucher dance, you know, they could decide we're going to put it in there.
Does somebody lead in two-stepping?
Oh, man, I'm out of my depth
on
this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Well, I was going to make some tortured analogy about, you know, who's the leader and who's the follower in this dance.
It would be an apt analogy, but sadly, our knowledge of dance did not prepare us for this politics discussion.
I think we could draw a parallel between square dancing, or line dancing, rather, where everybody's in a line, you're supposed to be doing the same thing. And Republicans aren't really doing the same dance right now.
So Walker's up there on the podium, right. Like calling the steps.
Yeah.
And then like some in the caucus are like,
the speaker's,
you know,
just off to the side with his arms folded, like, I'm doing the tango.
Absolutely. I would love to talk about, just for a moment though, like this whole veto and overriding the veto. And we talked a little bit about that with the gas tax at a certain point. Like if the legislature gets a gas tax increase in somehow, which it doesn't look like they're going to do because the majority leader doesn't seem on Senate majority leader doesn't seem like he's on board with a gas tax increase. But if in some crazy universe that does happen, then the governor vetoes it. The legislature could override it. We're sort of talking about the voucher expansion. You know, that's something that the governor could veto. Is there anything else that is sort of contentious or interesting that could reach that level of back and forth in this budget, you think?
I'm really interested in what's going to happen with the transportation stuff.
Yeah.
And I think at some point maybe there's discussion of Republicans banding together with Democrats to create a veto-proof majority to pass some type of a gas tax increase. However, it seems really unlikely, you know, that they would want to do that, that they would want to empower Democrats to override the governor.
Sort of be the savior in this instance, because they would need them.
Yeah.
It's
completely against kind of their game plan since Republicans have been in power. But it would take that if you want to pass something that the governor doesn't want and you really want it to be in the budget, you'd have to override him. That takes 2/3 majorities in the legislature, and Republicans don't quite have that. So I don't think the will is there, but could make for a dramatic story to watch heading into July, August,
September, Halloween,
yeah,
Christmas.
Yeah, why not?
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
You can boot Scoot and Boogie on over to iTunes to subscribe for new episodes of the show. You can also rate and review it there. We're on Google Play and a bunch of podcatching apps. And of course, you can find all our past episodes at wpr.org/politics. Time to boot Scoot and Boogie on out of here.
But first, look under your chairs.
You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car.
There's
and
nothing,
you get
actually.
A tax cut.